canceling carnality in the mind. Canceling carnality in the mind. And you know, it's a place where God has had me. It's a place where God has had me, personally. I'm just refocusing things, you know, like life is so full of ups and downs and twists and turns, and it's good to center everything on Him. It's good to bring balance to your life by centering yourself in the midst of Him. And what can sometimes become a blocker for that is the carnal mind. So we'll go ahead. I threw a little disclaimer in there this morning. So it says, what this message is not. We are not trying to attain something from God in which He hasn't already provided in the highest degree, possible, through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. And to that same effect, neither is it call to arms in order, like, replacing dependency upon the grace of God. Because, you know, people get zealous when they hear about, and it's nothing wrong being zealous. Don't take that for what I'm saying, but people get zealous and try to do it in their own flesh. And that's the worst kind of zealousness to be. Through which we see the fruits of the Spirit flourish in our personal walks of newness as children of God. So with our own behavior modification agendas, like I said, people get zealous about things and then they just, let me do this. And it's like, slow your roll, player, slow your roll, slow your roll. Because, like you said, in order to really see this thing manifest, there's a level of trust that must ensue in your heart. Like I said, the level of trust comes from, like I said, from faith. It all works hand in hand. Gospel draws those things out of us that God has placed on the inside of us. So, just like this world can try to draw things into us. Remember, you've been translated to light from darkness. So you don't got darkness on the inside of you. That's a lie. Gonna debunk some lies this morning, you know what I'm saying? Hit you with that Mari. That was a lie. So God put this on my heart as well. It's a Christ examination. So, you know, people say self-examination, test. Well, we're gonna do a Christ examination. We're gonna ask yourself these questions. Who does God say that I am? So you don't gotta answer these right now. Just keep them in your heart while we're talking today. What the heck is carnality? And what does it have to do with my relationship with God, along with my maturation of faith in Him? And then, where do I fall on the spectrum of a carnal mindset versus the spiritual mindset? Is there peace there or conflict? Because as we're going to learn today, where carnality is, peace ain't there. True peace isn't there, let's say that. And then, how am I applying this spiritual mindset versus the carnal mindset? So, like I said, the beauty of grace is that it awakens us. The beauty of the gospel is that it reminds us who God is. And in order to stay reminded of that and not divert back, that has to be at the forefront of our minds. Constantly, consistently. And in that, you know what I'm saying, you can position yourself in such a way where you're walking freely in that. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can't grow a certain fruit in a certain climate. Don't go up to Alaska and try to grow apples. It will not work. I repeat, if you want to be an apple farmer, do not go to Alaska. Because it's ice there. It's cold. It's not the perfect climate. But see, like if you go down to Washington, or even here, over in Illinois at Eckers Farm, it's prime real estate there to grow apples. They grow peaches, they grow all kinds of fruit. So keep that in mind, you know what I'm saying? When it pertains to the spirit versus the flesh mind, the carnal mind, recognize it as a certain climate that you're placing your heart in. Like you said, you want to produce the fruits of God and not try to make the fruits of God as well. Because that's carnal as well. To try to take the word and make it happen on your own. See, God wants it to flourish out of us. He wants to plant those seeds in us, let us digest it, and watch it pop out like gangbusters and multiply. He wants to multiply his word in our hearts. Amen. All right, so I got a lot of slides today, but bear with me. Four key things God's word pronounces over me. So if you guys could turn with me real quick to Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So the first one is, I am righteous. So say that with me. I am righteous. Hey! Better say that. I'm sorry. One more minute. All right, and I'm reading this from the King James Version. So it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So Christ, like I said, Christ did the great exchange with us. He gave us all of his righteousness at the cross in exchange with us, or all of our sin. Our sinfulness, our flesh, our nature of sin was crucified at the cross in Christ Jesus. And in exchange, he gave us all of his righteousness, his holiness, his blamelessness. Because Jesus didn't do nothing to get put on the cross. And he died a thief's death. He died on the cross with two other thieves on the side of him. And the beauty of it is, that's how it was supposed to go, so that we all could be grafted into this thing called the body of Christ. So that's the beauty of the gospel right there. That's about as beautiful as it gets, his broken body for us. And that's enough. So I am righteous because of that. I've been made clean. Righteousness is just simply saying that you've been cleansed of all unrighteousness. And that was through what he has done. So the next thing is, I am holy. Say that with me. I am holy.
I am holy.
Now, righteousness, holiness, two different things. Similar, but two different things. So holiness is, like I said, righteousness is cleansed. We're cleansed of all sin and junk. Holiness, on the other hand, is the power to walk in that. So holiness is where God dwells. Holiness, now don't get confused. Holiness doesn't make God love you less or love you more. But you're in a climate now when you're in holiness. Because anything, if you look in the Old Testament, and I didn't go there, but if you look in the Old Testament, you'll see like various different spots where, like when God dwelled on the mountain, or when God was in the presence of when Moses came into the presence of God, every time he said, "This is holy." He called the mountain of Zion holy because God was there. He called the burning bush a holy place because God was there. So you are holy because God is there. Say, I'm holy. With zero effort. That's my infomercial voice. So I'm going to go with Colossians 1:21 and 22. I just want you guys to get, we're just setting the groundwork here, so for where we're going. All right. So Colossians 1:21 and 22 says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." So, as it pertains to you and God, he's pronounced you as holy. He's pronounced you as unblameable, and he's pronounced you as unreprovable in his sight. And like you said, we reflect. We're the mirrors of God. So we have to, what we're doing is, when we hear that type of word, that's when we take the gift that he's given us, essentially. You know what I mean? We take, it says that I'm holy. Okay, Lord, I'm going to believe, I'm going to take you at your word and receive that gift that you've pronounced over me. You said I'm holy. You said I'm righteous. I'm going to walk in that. And essentially what that does is that's planting a seed. That's planting a seed in the right climate. And what comes out of that is the fruits of the Spirit, see? I am a child of God. Say that with me. I am a child of God. Say that again.
I am a child of God.
One more time, say that.
I am a child of God.
You know who says that you're a child of God?
God.
Oh, get that man a cookie. No, you don't get a cookie for it. It says in Romans 8:14 through 17, it says this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Sons is plural, so that means daughters and sons. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified, be glorified together. So, not only are you a child of God, but you're an heir of God as well. So, there's a child who's good, he's good with God, but an heir, what does an heir mean? It means I get all of the benefits, I get the crown. So that's the truth. You're an heir of God. You're royalty in the sight of God. Like I said, these are things that we got to remind ourselves of, because like I said, carnality wants to come in and rob us of those very things. And like I said, as you'll find, when you read in Romans, you'll find that climate drains us. It zaps us of the fullness of God that's dwelling on the inside of us. We got the fullness of God on the inside of us. God don't just, when God gives himself to us, he gave himself to us full-heartedly. He ripped the veil. He gave him all of him. He gave us all of him. You got the whole kingdom of heaven in your mouth. Hallelujah. So, the last of this list, it's plenty of more things on this list, but for the sake of time. Number four, I'm dwelling in the dwelling place in and of the Spirit because of Christ. So, that same verse, like I said, for you have received the Spirit, or you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Before Christ, people did not know who God was. Jesus introduced us to the Father. They knew of God. They knew about God. They knew what he could do. They knew that he protected. They knew about his works, but they didn't know him as their Father. Jesus brought that into the play. And because of that, we got a glimpse, because Jesus walked around this earth. He expressed the heart of the Father. He healed the sick. What's the mission statement? He preached the gospel to the poor. He healed the brokenhearted. Set at liberty the captives. So that same thing he's done in our lives by his Spirit. So like I said, we're the dwelling place. The other thing is, it's because the Spirit is on the inside of us that we're able to accomplish anything spiritual. Otherwise, it's carnal. I'm gonna say that one more time. Because the Spirit of God is on the inside of us, that's the only time that we can really accomplish the spiritual things that God has for us to do. Otherwise, you just taking a plow, you doing the thing, but at the end of your shift, you don't get paid. Man, how many people will be upset about that? You didn't work a 19-hour shift, and then they don't give you your check? Oh no. So, but that's what that mentality is. That's what religion is. Yeah. You're trying to appease something that you couldn't do. You can't do. But what God is doing is he's opening us up, placing himself on the inside of us and adding value to what you do. Because he's leading you to what to do. Could you imagine if you had a piece of gold and you had a piece of copper. Could you imagine if gold was useless to us, like gold as we see it now was useless to us, and copper was the more magnificent thing? In some other country. But then they came over here. They had oodles and oodles of gold, and it was useless to them. So then when they see gold in here, they're like, whatever. But we see copper. We put copper on a penny. That ain't worth nothing to us. But gold is the trust of our entire banking system. So it's like that. It's you place a value. And you should place a value the weightier thing. That's why gold is heavy. Gold has more value to it. Go ask no guy to, you want to preach to? So that's what we are, you know. We gotta place and value what's valuable and let go of what's, cause in the kingdom, man, none of that stuff is worth a penny. Carnality has no place here. Cause carnality get burned up in the end too. So that takes us to we're gonna open up this Romans 8 a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So there's a specific place in Romans 8 that like God has just been rocking my world with, boy. We're not gonna read the whole thing, but we're gonna get into it a little bit. So Romans 8, and like I said, I'm reading this in the King James Version, but it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So we'll stop right there. So in a place, once again, as it pertains to the climate thing, in a climate of walking in the Spirit, you're untouchable by condemnation. But when walking in the flesh, it's like piranhas in the Amazon, boy. You got a meat suit on. Got a suit of steaks on, and you jump in the Amazon with the piranhas. Condemnation gonna tear your behind up. But walking after the Spirit. Okay, so for the law of the Spirit of life, so that's the other part. You had the law, and you have the law of the Spirit of life. So once again, two different climates. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, where you're at, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So that's outside of Christ. Whatever's outside of Christ is gone. Whatever's outside of the kingdom can't stand. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So going back to that thing of the law. The children of Israel, they had the law. Everybody know that. Children of Israel, they had the law, the Ten Commandments. They had the Levitical laws. They had all the various different statutes and precepts to live by in order to keep themselves looking good on the outside. But God, when Jesus came, he did that. He fulfilled that. But he also took it a step further. So when they talk about the law, they did the bare minimum. Jesus took it a step further. He was like, even if you look at that girl, you didn't commit adultery. Even if you tell your brother he's stupid, you killed him. Like, Jesus took it a step further, and what it was he was showing people, man, you cannot do this in your own flesh and think that it's worth anything. It's copper. It's not gold. It has no weight to it. That's not strong meat. That's milk. I can do that in my sleep, Jesus said. And he fulfilled it all. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because of Christ and because of the Spirit of God, you are free from sin and death. You are no longer under the auspices of the law, in which you have to complete this in order to get God's approval. No. You're not stuck in that place no more. Say, I ain't stuck no more. So I don't have to continue in those cycles that the law produces. See, the children of Israel, they was in a cycle, bro. They was stuck. They had to do it every year. They had to give a sacrifice of a bull every year, a goat, a lamb, even pigeon, something. You had to bring something to repent to God for. Jesus, on the other hand, came to bunk all of that mess. I believe that's why he came in the temple, because they were selling doves and goats and stuff. I'm the sacrifice. Start flipping stuff. I truly believe that. Like, why y'all, why? Don't turn my father's house of worship into a den of thieves. That's what he said. And that happened a couple of times if you read the scripture. That happened twice, two or three times, I'm sure. Because they didn't want to acknowledge the fact that he was who he said he was. It wasn't that, and look, it wasn't that they didn't know either. They just didn't want to let him because they was greedy. So, carnality. They were carnal. They refused to see God while he was exactly in their face. Jesus is walking around healing people, turning water into wine, walking on water. Like, he walked on water a couple of times if you read the scripture. He walked on water two or three times too. Multiplying fishes and loaves of bread for 5,000, 3,000 people. He did all of these things. And yet, people refused to accept who he said he was. But back to this. So, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. That's the other, it says it plain right there. You can't do the law. It's weak through the flesh. It's unskilled. It's trash, in a sense. It's really, if you want to take it a step further, in the Old Testament, it said it's filthy rags to God. And he's talking about filthy rags, if y'all know what I'm saying. The cycle rags. Yeah. You'll understand by and by, Junior. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So that's the other thing. He deadened us to the... He deadened our entire being destroyed by placing it into the flesh. Is what that's saying. He took sin's curse, he took sin's punishment and put it in his flesh so that we can continue on in his spirit. So he essentially, like I said, took it, stabbed it, sent it away. And now we stand triumphant. But see, that's where the mind has to change. Because it's like building a house. Look, it's like building a house and you got rotten wood under the inside, or a crack in the foundation, but you continue to try to build on top of that foundation or that rotten wood, paint over that rotten wood, making that thing look real nice. And then an earthquake comes and then that stuff just falls. That's what carnality is like. That's what I liken it to. It's like trying to build onto something that is not meant to be built on top of. And essentially it robs you, because you get stuck. Carnality is sticky. It just holds you in place. And it wants to touch everything that God has for you. It wants to dictate to you where to go, what to do. It wants to essentially take the place of the Father. And that's a no-no. Because it's not worth nothing. So, like I said, Jesus condemned it in the flesh. And that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, it's been fulfilled in us. And you continue in that. You have to continue in that. That don't mean that you lose righteousness when you make a bad decision or make a mistake. But what it does mean is you're cutting yourself off of that period where God could have been blessing you. You could have had peace in a sad situation, but instead you chose to have death. Because it's not just talking about physical death. It's talking about touching death. Like, you ever just felt like, like, this sucks. It's like, it's just bleh. A lot of times it's because in those situations, we're not attaching ourselves to the fruit of God. We're attaching ourselves to the fruit of the flesh. Like I said, it robs you of your peace, your joy, your love, your long-suffering, your self-control. Carnality, man, and it's sneaky, you know what I'm saying? It eases its way up in that thing. It don't just, sometimes it's just right there, but most of the time it's subtle. I get you to think this way just a little bit over here. I get you to think this way just a little bit over here. Just tweak a little bit of this. And till it chokes you up, overtakes you. But like you said, we have the power to overcome carnality. And it's not through, like I said, right here, it's not through the law that we can do it. So another form of the law is that inward battle that we have where we're like, I'm going to do this. All right, Lord, I'm going to do this now. You ain't going to do that. You gonna do it for 2 days and then you're going to fall right back into what you're doing. Let's be real. But it's a thing of transparency with God. You have to be real with God. That's why we ask those questions at the beginning. Where am I? Lord, where am I? What am I believing right now? Am I believing the gospel in this area of my life? Am I trusting your provision in this area of my life? Or am I just letting circumstances happen to me? I like Anthony, he always says this. He said, happen to life, don't let life happen to you. And that's real talk, because it's like, how many times do we let life happen to us and we just like, ugh. And it's just, but it's always a pathway that led us to that place. You can always backtrack to where, oh man, I should. And that don't mean that you have to dwell in condemnation about a decision that you made, but you do have to face that decision that you made. It always happens. You can't just sweep stuff under the rug and think that it's gonna be cool. It's clean now. That's what the Pharisees did. They tried to sweep Jesus under the rug. I'm the savior of the world. I'm healing people.
Yeah.
They tried to sweep Jesus under the rug by killing him. Didn't work. That light came through. You can try to shroud a really bright light for a period of time, but that light finds some hold through. So it's that same thing, man. Like carnality is like that shroud we try to put on in front. You know, man. Try to be funny with God, like, okay, Lord, you know. Try to slick talk, you know what I'm saying? Spit game to Jesus, you know what I'm saying? But you're totally see-through. And it's amazing, man. Like, that's the falsity that's involved in that. So, like I said, it says, continue on, it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that's not just talking about, like I said, God's pleased with us because of the cross. However, asterisk, you can make God happy with the things that you do. You can make him smile. It's like a father and their kids. they can love their kid to death, but they can do stuff that grieves them. I done made my mom mad plenty of times, I'm sure, from stuff that I've done that she told, you know, she was loving me, told me to do this, that, and the other, and I didn't do it, and she got mad. So it's like, God's not walking around holding a grudge with us. He's forgiven us. He loves us. But we can do some stuff sometimes, and I'm sure it's like, bro, what are you doing? You're going this way, go this way. So, walking to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because we know when we are aware when we're messing up too. It's not like I said, you can't finesse God, you can't play yourself. We know when we tripping, and then, like I said, that's when condemnation is given a foothold to come and creep into our lives, because it beats you over the head over and over again, like. You're in the wrong place. And it's like, it makes you feel terrible. It makes you feel death, in a sense. It kills the joy and the peace that God wants you to have on a consistent basis. Also, you feel like you're an enemy of God, because carnality itself is an enemy of God. So you have aligned yourself with something that is an enemy of God. And then you take that identity upon yourself. So it always turns back to that identity thing. Who am I? I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm a child of God. The Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me, and I'm in Him. That's walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is constantly being aware of who I am. Jesus didn't have any issue with sin. Why? Because you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God told him that before he did any ministry, anything. And then after that, he was filled with the Spirit. He got tempted by the devil for 40 days. Like, it's a launching pad. Walking in the Spirit and canceling out carnality in our lives. And then, that's the other thing. I'm not saying perfection, because we all fall short of the glory of God. However, it's not hard for us to walk in perfection if we're attentive to what we're doing. And like I said, it's not that we're attentive to what we're doing in our own flesh now. We're depending on the Spirit. It's like, Holy Spirit, I'm finna go over here. And like I said, we know right and wrong. God has written the law in our heart. Because, like I said, He's condemned sin in the flesh. All of the goodness that is in the law, all of the goodness that's through the Spirit has already been placed on the inside of us in the Word. But you gotta stimulate that thing. You gotta get in the Word in order to awaken those things that's already on the inside of you. The word is written on our hearts. The Word is inside of us. Jesus was the Word, right? Now we finna get real. Jesus was the Word, right? So He's on the inside of us, right? He was the living Word. So you're activating Christ every time you peer into this Word. You're seeing Christ every time you take on this Word and apply it in yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
Like I said, we cling to what we cling to, what we consume, what we listen to, what we hear, the people that are around us, all of these circumstances. And we're not even going to talk about the stresses of the entire world, the world hunger and all this crazy stuff that's going on, people killing people and doing all this crazy stuff. Life and peace is in walking in the Spirit, not being soaked in what the world got going on. Because I know, man, when I there was a period, man, I was like, you know, with all the stuff that was going on in St. Louis the last few years, and you know, you be on Facebook and you be getting people's posts and you see somebody getting killed and you do, and it just keeps building. And it was start, I was just getting angry, like, I just was so angry, like, and I remember at one point I was just like, it was another cop that had killed somebody, and I was just like, man, I'm done, bro, like, what is going on? And God reminded me, he was like, I love him too. I love him too. You know he don't know me right. Remember all those situations that you created before? All those bad decisions that you made? Now granted, my decisions ain't as bad as that, but sin is sin. His love is his love. Jesus died for everybody. So that's spiritual minded. Like, you can, me myself, I'm mad at this person. I'm upset. My emotions are taking over. Uh-oh, emotions, carnality. You can have carnal emotions. Emotions are good. But carnal emotions ain't. Because then, like I said, you're affected by everything that's touching you. Everything that's around you. And it's not in a spiritual sense. All of these outside things can take your peace. Then what are you feeding on? Which tree are you feeding on? That was another thing God brought to me. You know, the knowledge of good and evil tree, or the tree of life. You sit, we'll sit, and you feeding on that tree. You know when you feeding on that knowledge of good and evil tree, because you just feeling death, man. You just everything irritates me right now. And when you get to feeding on that tree of life, Christ Jesus is the tree of life. When you feed upon all of the beauty that he is, that he is the hope and the answer for this life, that's when you will see yourself getting transformed from what you're feeding on. You can't expect to be transformed if you're not feeding it. I totally didn't stick to the script, but it's okay. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read a few more and then we're going to be finished. It says Romans 8, 9, and 17. It says, ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. When you received Christ, you were given the spirit of God. The spirit of God is in you when you received Christ. Now you can be baptized in the spirit. That's a constant awareness and flow of who he is. You got to delve into that every day. But it's not that the wellspring isn't there on the inside of you. You got to activate that thing. That thing. And activate that thing. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. So like I was saying earlier, Jesus put all sin in the flesh and killed it off. You got to believe that in order to see it manifest. Faith is what activates grace. It's faith through grace. So faith is the vehicle that we use to walk in the grace of God. That's it. How else would we be in Christ had we not believed that Christ came, did, died, and did what he did? Same thing applies to every part of this spiritual walk. You got to believe it first for it to manifest. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. The quickening is, like I said, you got to hear from God where to go, what to do, what to consume, what not to consume. There have been times, man, like, I'll be watching something and I just get an unction in my spirit like, don't watch that. Leave that alone. And I'm glad I didn't do it, because people would talk about it like, man, you seen this video? You seen it? I'm like, nah, bro, I ain't even seen that. Man, and people getting all upset about certain stuff. It's like I said, some things, God, all things, Jesus is our filter. So it's like, you got to let him filter life. I said, you wouldn't feed your kid. Oh, there it is. You wouldn't feed your kid the extra oil on the chicken. When you fry the chicken, you're going to strain that oil off. Then you're going to pat that chicken and get that extra oil off of there. Because, you know, if you consume too much oil, that can make you sick. God is greater even than that. He said, if you being evil give your kids good things, how much more will I give you the best? For the sake of time, there's one other scripture that I'm going to read from. Because this is a lot to talk about. I didn't realize how broad this topic was. So you got to hone in on certain parts. But God is good. We're going to go to Romans 5. So just to encourage y'all to do some research of your own. Like when you read, I heard a preacher say this and it actually worked for me. But it's when you're reading in Romans, he said what he did was he read, you know the song, 8, 6, 7, 5, 3, 0, 9, y'all heard that song? Well, that's how he said he read the Romans. 8, and he went to 6, and he went to 7. Oh, wait. Then he went to 5, 3, and then he understood 9 after that. So just to encourage y'all, if y'all want to get into Romans, man, cracking the Romans, man, this is good stuff in there, bro. It's the book that grafted us into this thing. It helps us understand what's going on. Because the Jews, they knew what was going on. Some of them didn't want to accept it. Some did. But thank God that he pressed it upon Paul's heart to share this information with everybody in the world. All right. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You're standing in grace right now. Knees deep, really not knees deep, over your head. We stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we come with an expectation that God is going to produce whatever it is that we need, because we've been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. So that's problems, trials, circumstances, whatever. Also knowing that tribulations worketh patience. So you guys ask for patience. If you want more patience to flow through you, you start at the gospel. He places the fruit in you. And you have it there to tap into. And patience, experience. Experience hope. And hope make it not ashamed. So if you want to know how to stoke that fire of expression towards God before men, hope maketh not ashamed. You leverage everything that you are on Christ. Hope will be kindled because you will go through some circumstances that will bring patience and experience and hope. So don't look at the circumstances going on in the world as hopeless. Don't look at Donald Trump as a hopeless thing. Don't look at people going and shooting up Vegas a hopeless thing. Because that kindles that fire in us to spread the gospel. People need to hear the gospel. People need this hope because otherwise it's carnality. That's all they got to work with. Even though they've been given Christ through him dying for the world, they don't know it. You can't know something unless somebody tell you. And you can't, it said, and be, you can't preach if you haven't been sent. God sent you. You don't have to wait for somebody else to send you to tell somebody about Jesus. You really don't. How? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, as you can see, it's a trend that happens in Romans where it's just constantly reminding us, man, you have the Spirit, you have the power over sin. Sin is dead. Paul says that at least once throughout every book of Romans. You can research it yourself. Don't just take my word for it. But just know that your position is solid. But you got to believe that your position is solid and then apply that. The application is as simple as believing. He ain't telling you to do nothing crazy out of this world. Believe. Because believe, when you really believe something, what does it do? It drives you to make something happen.
It drives you to change it. It drives you to accomplish what God has placed, set in motion for you to do.
So, I want y'all to take down a couple of these scriptures. I'll holler at me when you get there. But really, the thing to take away, check out Romans. Final conclusion. The simplicity of the good news puts us in a mind frame and position to be more powerful and triumphant over sinfulness. The worldly traditions, ideas, lies, circumstances should not take precedence over our identity in Christ. Like with anything, God likes for us to have choices. God is not going to take the strings and make you do anything. But he is guiding you, like a good father would do. Like if your kid was walking and they just learned how to walk, you wouldn't just be like, all right, walk. And then just let them fall and bust their head. You're like, all right, come on, baby. And if the baby stops, you ain't going to just go push him. Nah, you're going to keep walking with them. Because, you know, we be stopping sometimes, like, you know, they're scared. But you push them along. He's not forcing us to follow his word, neither. But he's not going to stop giving his word. He's not going to stop patting that little bottom and telling you to come on. And he's not going to push you into a situation that's going to be dangerous for you either. And don't allow carnality of this world to make you think something is dangerous when it ain't. If he's telling you to move, you move. That means he's protecting you in that. Lord, this cat shoots guns out here. Now, don't be stupid. But listen to God. Because people be doing some stuff, man, like, dude, why would you put yourself in that situation? What? So, but it behooves us to do so when we when we put his love found in the gospel at the forefront of our thoughts. Understanding that carnality was shed off of this new frame of the spirit is what produces freedom in and on purpose. We're under new management with eternal benefits. We no longer have to appeal to the flesh. The flesh is dead. Say that with me. The flesh is dead. All right, we're gonna pray real quick. Everybody can just stand. Hallelujah. 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 You're good, Lord. I just wanted to say, man, God has called us. You're not just wandering and flowing to nowhere. You're not a drifting piece of driftwood. You're a boat. And God is the ocean. His grace is this ocean that moves you along, his currents. So I just want to encourage everybody, man, like, you're not in this on your own. Also to encourage you that we all are walking in this together. So it's encouragement to each other to encourage one another in this thing. Because like I said, everybody's struggles not the same struggles. Everybody's circumstances around them not the same circumstances. But that's why he made us a family. That's why we're the body of Christ. A hand can't open without knuckles. Right. So, just want to encourage y'all. We in this together. You're not facing anything alone. This church, the leadership here, and Pastor Wendell as well, just that's the heart of this church, is offer people free counseling. Offer people, you know, just whatever we can. That's the ministry aspect of this thing. We not up here just playing church, you know what I mean? So that's a blessing, man, to have people that have that mindset. So we'll just go ahead and pray. Also, if there's anybody that has not received Christ, it looks like everybody's family here. But if there's anybody that has not received Christ, we're just going to pray a prayer as well. And then after that prayer, if you could just raise your hand, and then we'll talk afterwards. But Father God, we just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word today, Lord God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just doing what you do. We just always want to be in the flow of spirit-mindedness, Lord. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that you are opening the eyes of this church's understanding, Lord God, that we are moving to another place as a body, Lord, as a body of people, Lord God. And Father, I just thank you that you are at the helm of that. Father God, I thank you for each and every person that's under the sound of my voice, even the people that weren't able to make it, Lord God. I thank you for their lives. I thank you, Lord, that this is not by accident, that whoever's here is here, Lord God. I thank you that we can depend on you. We can trust you, Lord God. You have shown us time and time again how faithful you truly are. Even if it's just us breathing, Lord God, that's faithful. We don't have to think about how to breathe. So, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that with sincerity, Lord God, we receive the gift of righteousness, Lord God. The free gift of righteousness. We receive that every day, Lord. Repeat after me, God. Father God, thank you for dying on the cross, being buried, and raising up on the third day. Father, I receive you. I receive your free gift of righteousness. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for calling me your son, your daughter. And Lord, we just honor you. Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And if that was your first time saying that, if you could just, you don't even have to raise your hand. You can just come up to me and we can talk after service. But everybody good? Good. All hearts, minds, good. Amen.
Potato. But I'm going to tell you something, though. You, whatever you got, if it's just one thing that you, that the Holy Spirit enlightened your heart about, that's what you eat off of. Because that's what's going to bless you. That's what's going to help you grow in basically what he was talking about. The fact is that I thank God for